Georgia. And I feel worth the living just because he lives.
Amen. Our children will have class today, so you all can follow your teacher. I know the parents are thanking God right now for that. Amen. Giving honor to God, who's the head of my life, to our deacons, mothers, and to everyone in their respective places. God did give me a word on today. Amen. Despite the news that I've been given, amen, many of you heard and many of you have been ministered to by Prophet Daryl O'Bannon. Amen. He passed away on Friday. It was a shocker to me. And I'm very close to him. It's kind of hard to preach and teach, but the good thing is that I know where he went. Amen. Because I know who he was and to the end. Amen. Very powerful man of God. And we talk as often as we can. And we both minister to one another. That certainly is going to be missed here on earth for me. I always anticipate a phone call from him, and he always anticipated a phone call from me. That's just the way it was. I mean, we just messed with each other and did all kind of things to each other, you know, but God has allowed us to cherish those moments and those times. You know, I had to process that. But in the meantime, in not knowing this, it's interesting how God was dealing with me with this message. And it's just the way that God does things to prepare us for what we are dealing with. And that's what he led me to speak this message on today, not even knowing the situation about Prophet O'Bannon, but knowing how it was going to affect me. Turn to Psalms 39 and 4. Again, this was even before I knew I was studying this. This was before I knew anything about Prophet O'Bannon passing away. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Psalms 39, verse 4. I'm reading from the King James Version. And it reads, Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days. what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Amen. For the reading, hearers, and doers of God's words. Amen. And even if I, let me just, for a bonus, let me just read this fifth verse. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Even if you are at your best, this is what the scripture is saying. It's in verse 5. Every man at his best state is altogether vanity. We're nothing. My question to you today is, what are you planning on doing tomorrow? How about next week? Got plans for next month? Or even next year? I ask these questions because we are prone to think that life is both predictable and controllable. Whether we want to think about it or not, we need to understand the length of our lives. It's not guaranteed, at least not in this world. What I'm saying is, this is a message that God has given me and speaking to me. I mean, I can hear from heaven and God saying life on earth is a temporary assignment. And we need to understand that. We don't want it to be, but life on earth is a temporary assignment. And this brings some of the perspectives to what we do and how we live that might be different from what we have if we think we'll go on forever. I don't think people think they'll go on forever. They just simply push death out of the way and don't focus on it until they have to. Maybe we'll all feel the same way, but I just feel as though, you know, people, you see them out there in the world, a lot of people could be in church right now, hearing the word of God. But they're thinking because they're at their best that they don't have to attend worship service. But as you can see, it's altogether vanity. As Christians, we don't make the mistake as assuming that God's goal for our lives is material and prosperity or popular success. That's what these mega churches preach. They preach that prosperity. People love it. They like it. And the only person you're making prosper is that mega pastor, because you're giving to his ministry. And many of them are not giving back. And if they do, it ain't much. But my point is, what I'm trying to get you to understand, that does not measure success to God as the world defines it. People look at that mega pastor and say, oh man, he's got a great ministry. He's doing great. He's got all this. But if you're not teaching the world the word of God, he's not doing anything. The abundant life has nothing to do with material abundance, and faithfulness to God does not guarantee success in a career or even a ministry. So don't focus on temporary crowns or achievements. All this stuff is temporary. Think of some of the greats that was in the Bible. For example, Paul was faithful, yet he ended up in prison. The greatest person born of a woman was faithful, but he was beheaded. Millions of faithful people have died and lost everything, or have come to the end of life with nothing to show for it. Think of the persecuted church, but in the end of life,
is really not the end for a Christian. In God's eyes, the greatest hero of faith are not those who achieve prosperity, success, and power in this life, but those who treat this life as a temporary assignment and serve faithfully, expecting their promised reward in eternity. In Hebrews, we know, we heard about the Hall of Fame, and as in much more valuable than the Sports Hall of Fame that we are familiar with, we need to understand that if our name is written in the book of life, that is the best Hall of Fame you can be a part of. Amen? Amen. Amen. These people, they play their careers out to get inducted into the Hall of Fame. But yet that book will even be destroyed and forgotten. But if your name is written in the Lamb's, and that's Jesus, book of life, that's eternity. Amen. I know it's a blessing to have your name written in the Lamb's book of life. See, we will eventually be home. Eventually. And then you'll really wonder why you place so much importance on this stuff down here on earth. Because it's meaningless. I said this before, and I'm going to say it again. You remember when you were a certain age? Let's just go 10. And I believe that you received gifts at the age of 10. My question to you is, where is that gift? Amen? Where is it? Where is the gift that you received at age 15? Well, how about 20? Okay, well, let's go 25. My point is, it's gone, vanished. These materialistic things do not last. I remember when I got my first car, it was a 1988 Ford Escort. Man, I thought that was the best thing in the world. I put rims on it. I put in a brand new radio. I put in a big old speaker that you can't even hear. You can hear me coming from miles, but you can't hear inside of the vehicle. And I was just going down the street. I mean, I was thumping it loud. And man, I'm going to tell you, I thought that was the best thing in the world. I washed that car every day, used some good wax called Finish 2000. I ain't advertising for them, but man, there was some good stuff. I was so proud of my vehicle that I put it in a show. This is real. I was with my uncle and I joined the club that he was in, and I put my Escort in a show. My point is, what I'm saying is, where's that Escort at now? All that money I invested in, spent my money, all that, it is gone. So we spend a lot of time and energy on things that does not last long. And I know there's times when life is tough and when we're overwhelmed with doubt or when we wonder if living for Christ is really worth it, because we as Christians, we sometimes don't see the immediate results. Amen? Sometimes we just don't see that immediate result. So therefore, we kind of wonder, is it really worth serving the Lord? And I'm going to tell you, see, sometimes we look for those short-term investments. But you need to look at this long-term investment. Amen. I remember when I first started, when I got into the 401k, and to me, being young, that money wasn't growing fast enough. And I said, man, this I need to do something with this. And the guy who was helping me out, he said, be patient, young man. He said, you got a long way to go. He said, you just getting started. You only what, 19 some years old. This money is not going to grow as fast as you want it. But he said, in due time, you will get there. So in other words, he was telling me at a young age, look at that long-term investment. He said, the one thing I could tell you is that you made a great investment by starting now. And I'm going to say that in Christ. I made a great investment when I started years ago in Christ. I didn't wait till I was on my deathbed and didn't want to accept him as my Savior. No, I made that investment early. I ain't say I was saved all my life, but I did make a great investment. In order to keep us, this is how God operates. In order to keep us from becoming too attached to earth, God allows us to feel a significant amount of unhappiness and dissatisfaction in life that will never be fulfilled on this side of eternity. So we're not completely happy here because we're not supposed to be. Amen. We're not supposed to be happy here on this side. This is why we experience these difficulties and these hurts and these separations. Because God is reminding us not to get too attached. We were not designed to stay here. We were designed to live forever. This is why it's important for your soul's salvation that you make a decision today that I will serve the Lord. Even if nobody else around you is willing to make that stand, I'm telling you, it is one of the best investments you can have. Earth is not our final home. We were created for something much better than what we are doing right now. This was given to me before I got the news. Because God knew how attached I was to my cousin. And he knew the relationship that we had with one another. He knew how often we talked with one another and how frequently we messed with each other. He knew that that separation will affect me. So he let me know, don't you get too attached. The things we see now are here today but gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see will live forever. It's what you don't see that's blessing you. Because the earth is not our ultimate home, we experience difficulties, sorrow, and rejection in this world. Some of God's promises even seem unfulfilled. Some prayers seem unanswered and some circumstances seem unfair. But this is not the end of the story. We're like that fish that can't live so well on earth because it was not made to be outside of water. We were made for someplace other than where we spend this life. We all have a lot of happy times here, but it's nothing compared with what we will eventually know on the other side. If we think about life as a temporary assignment, it will lead us to altering our values. Eternal values will rise to the top and become the deciding factor in decision making. God created us and put us here at a specific time to carry out an assignment. His purpose is what it is. Once we do that, then we go home. In case you didn't know that. If you're still here, it's because you have yet to finish carrying out his purpose or have yet to begin it. We all are on an assignment. We are Christ's ambassadors. we're here to carry out what he has asked us to do. So I'm trying to get you to understand, it's not about us. It's not about you. It is about he that is living. You have a home. There's no sense in trying to make someplace else your home. God is a jealous God in all ways. He doesn't want you worshiping another God or another man more than you worship him. He doesn't want you putting more pleasure in worldly things than you put into prayer and walking with him. He wants it all. He knows when you're not giving him your all. That is the God that we serve, because he know it all. His wrath is mighty, but his love is powerful. The things we see, as I said, are here today and gone tomorrow, but the things we can't see will last forever. The reason God said not to get too attached to what's around us, because it's temporary. He won't hesitate to take something away from us if he even suspects that it's taking you away from him. That's tough. That's tough. While he doesn't delight himself in taking away things or people that we value, he knows that he is what we truly need to make it. We are able to see and touch in this life, but we won't be able to take what we see and touch in this life on the other side. It ain't gonna happen. So don't ever get too comfortable with what you have and what you're doing. And if I'm telling you, this is what the word says, only what you do for Christ will last. All that stuff you doing, and if it ain't for Christ, I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to last. It ain't going to last. I don't care what, that investment that I got, it ain't going to last. If I live to be 150, it's going to run out. So don't ever get too comfortable. The moment you begin to get comfortable or complacent, you take everything for granted. I've seen in the news too many senseless tragedies occurring and loved ones never having a chance to make things right or say, I love you. It's not that he's trying to be cruel to us when he takes something or someone away from us. He's just trying to remind us that this is a temporary place. You heard that. I remember as a child, I remember them singing, this world is not my home. Amen. Y'all remember that? As a child, you don't understand that. Sometimes you feel as though you're young. Man, you got a lot of life ahead of you. But man, you can drop dead at any moment. We should feel the disconnect to a certain extent so that we are reminded of the real life that awaits us. Let me tell y'all something. People don't want to talk about death. But we're not going to live forever. How many people do you know are still here that was here when you were a child? They are leaving here. That should let you know that we are next. At some point in time, we will experience that ourselves. We look at for God to come in the rapture, and we look for him to part the skies. But let me tell you something. While you're looking for that, you may check out of here before that happens. We're looking at the last days. This may be our last day. So many people come to the ministry and don't have a church home and leave here still don't have a church home. Right. Not only that, but they leave here still empty and not having Jesus as their Savior. Let me tell you, when you pass away, if you don't have him as your Savior, when you pass away, let me tell you something, you will not make it into heaven. I don't care how good you are. I don't care if you fed the homeless. I don't care if you, you know, got together and donated all of your clothes to charity and you cut your neighbor's grass. That ain't going to help you. What's going to help you if you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? See, I can say God, but see, there's a lot of gods that's out there with the lowercase g, but I got to say Jesus Christ's name. Because when I say his name, there is a difference. Because there is only one Jesus. That is God's son. You will never feel completely satisfied on this earth because you were made for something much better. You're not going to be satisfied. You know, there's people, this is what I get from people. You know, people say to me, I hear people say, you know, ain't nothing in Illinois, ain't nothing in this St. Louis metropolitan area, ain't nothing going on here. And I'm like this, you can make it happen wherever you are. You can blossom wherever you are. If there's a problem with what you're doing, then maybe something is wrong with the soil that you're on. Because it ain't nothing, it ain't affecting me. What you are experiencing has nothing to do with me because I'm blossoming where I am. People are saying, you know, it just ain't nothing around here. I need to go to Texas. I need to go to another state. Let me tell you something. If you are contaminated here, when you go to another state, you still gonna be, you still gonna be contaminated. You have to pour yourself out and allow something good to come in. And that is Jesus Christ. If you don't accept him, he ain't gonna come in. He's not gonna force himself on you. It's a free will. He's not gonna force himself on you. You have to accept him. In the eyes of God, the greatest heroes of faith are not those who achieve prosperity and success, power in this life, but those who treat this life as a temporary assignment and serve faithfully, expecting their promised reward in eternity. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. I'm not tripping off of this stuff that's going on down here. Yeah, I understand it. I see it. But my hope is not built on this. When life gets tough, when you're overwhelmed with doubt or with wonder if living for Christ is worth it, remember that you are not home yet. That's what God keeps reminding me. You ain't home yet. At death, you won't leave home, you'll go home. You are never, you were, let me tell you something. Listen to this. You were made for eternity. This earth is preparation for heaven. It's the warm-up act. It's the pre-K before kindergarten. Amen. It reminds me when I was playing ball, you know, where we had to warm up before the game. So before the game actually start, we did preparation. We did drills. And what I'm trying to tell you here on Sunday mornings, this is just a preparation. This is just a warm-up of what we're going to experience in eternity. And when I told you that there's not going to be any good people in heaven, that is true, because there's going to be saved people in heaven. Amen? Good people, you're not going to be good enough to be in heaven. There's nothing you're going to be able to do on your own to make it in. But I can tell you this, there's going to be a lot of saved folks in heaven because they know that without Christ, they wouldn't be there. Every musician, knows the importance of rehearsal. Great performance don't just happen. Every minister knows the importance of studying before a message. Careful preparation and practice are essential before these things or these other ingredients are put into play. What I'm trying to tell you is that what we are doing right now, it is a preparation for heaven. If you struggle to get out of bed and come to worship the Lord right now, what do you think you're going to do in heaven? This is what we're going to be doing. Worshiping, praising God. Let me tell you something. There's times that I have to fight it, and I have to, you know, because I'm not in my glorified body. When I work, I get tired. Amen? I mean, I get tired. And yes, that bed feels good when you got a good mattress. You got a nice pillow to lay your head on. But let me tell you something. Even though that feels good, you still got to press your way towards the house of prayer. Amen? And if you can't do it now, if you say that you need yourself some me time, that you can't do it this Sunday, but next Sunday, let me tell you something. When you get in heaven, when they start praising, you ain't going to be able to say, I need some me time. Let me tell you something. Everything that has breath will be praising the Lord. There ain't going to be nobody in heaven that don't want to be there. I can tell you that right now. Everybody that's there wants to be there. David had an experience with God. God had rescued him and refreshed him. David had experienced the presence of God. He was changed, and he couldn't be silent about it. So he sung praise to God. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. David was exuberant in song and praise. He was excited. He could not contain his joy, his happiness, his relief. He had to shout and sing to God. David got to a point in his life where he just got crazy for God, where he just sang out of his clothes. He praised God out of his clothes. Come on now, because he wasn't focused on all this foolishness. He set his mind on God. All of the songs were designed to be sung. Singing is an important spiritual expression. Singing is mentioned throughout the Bible throughout Psalm 68 times. And it wasn't just any song David sang, it was a new song that he did. There was a freshness and a newness to his experience with God. It was as though he were seeing God again for the first time. Sometimes, boy, you got to renew that relationship. And man, when you renew that relationship, man, it's sweeter than it was the day before. So it was like as it was an old faithful friend that he was meeting again. Each time it was a new experience for David. Each person wants to see it again and again. Each time, you know, when you come to the presence of somebody and that you really enjoy seeing and you just love talking to them and you love that relationship, you love that newness, that freshness that they bring to you. And so David was in a relationship with God. When David messed up, and y'all know he did, but man, that brother got right back with God. It didn't take him a long time. All it took was for him to understand that he messed up. And when he messed up, he got right back in fellowship with God. David knew that the source of his good fortune was none other than God himself. we don't worship just at church, because worship ought to be a constant attitude and activity of our lives. I don't care if you're outside cutting grass, or if you're washing dishes, or if you're vacuuming the house. Let me tell you something. At any moment, at any point, you ought to give thanks and praise to God. Amen. And even if you have to go down memory lane where you first got saved, I mean, there's nothing wrong with going back to that area where God saved you and say, this is where the Lord spoke to me right here. This is where I got saved. Because we do it in the natural. When we meet that loved one that we first fell in love with, we go back to that destination and we look at it, we reminisce, and we go down memory lane thinking about what we've done and how we did it. But if you're in Christ, you ought to have that same attitude where you go to this place where God delivered you, where God saved you, and you offer up a sacrifice of praise. Don't worry about why people are looking at you funny. Look at them funny too, because they ought to be praising God as well. If they know what you know, they'll start praising them. In worship, God is the true audience. Not us. We shouldn't be entertained, for the lack of better words. We should be coming here with praise on our hearts, praise in our mouth, ready to worship God. I'm talking about the engine should already be warm. As soon as you reach another Christian, you ought to say, I'm still holding on. We should view today as a dress rehearsal. How are you going to do it when you're in heaven? Amen. Are you going to sit there, or are you going to open up your mouth and praise God? Or are you going to say, Lord, I thank you for everything that you've done for me. Lord, I thank you for doing the things that I didn't know that I was supposed to do, but I thank you. Lord, even when I tried to pray and I fell asleep, I thank you for knowing my heart. I thank you for knowing all about me. We ought to understand that this is just a rehearsal. And in the rehearsal, all you're doing is practicing, getting ready for the main event. Yeah, getting ready for the main event, the main attraction, what you've been living for, what you've been dreaming about, what you've been yearning for, what you've been wanting to do for all your life. We ought to just praise him. I don't care where you are. Just have a moment of praise for God, for all that he's done for you. We ought to know that you can't tell it like I can. But you ought to tell it. See, we have to understand that we can't enjoy heavenly worship here on earth. We can't enjoy that. The only reason why I'm saying is because we're inside of time. And time won't allow us to really express how we feel about God. I mean, because some of us in a little while got to go to work. Amen. Or we got some other things we have to do. But my point is, we can't really express how we feel in this life. But God is going to remove time in time, and we will be able to praise him without worrying about having to go to work, having to do something else, because we will be outside of time. And when you're in your glorified body, as much as I'm not a singer, as much as I don't want to sing, but I can tell you this one thing. Every voice that is in heaven will be singing praises to the Almighty God. Even if you don't want to sing, you will be singing. Even if you don't want to be in the choir, or you wasn't in the choir down here, you will be in the choir up there. everybody will be participating. You can believe that. There won't be no bystanders. There won't be no non-performers, nobody who's saying anything. Everybody will be crying out to God. First of all, you'll be thankful that you made it in. Every word, every note, every heart will speak of the Savior who was slain and is alive, the Redeemer who is King of kings and Lord of lords. We will be singing praises to him. We will be rejoicing. We will see some family folks that we haven't seen in years. We'll be having a reunion. I just know that God is going to be the main attraction. Amen. I know that I have some family members that have gone on to be with the Lord because of how they were here on earth. But I do appreciate them. And I do love them. And I do want to see them. But I want to see Jesus, the man who died for me before I even knew who he was. That's who I want to see. That's no disrespect to my family, but it's respect to the author and finisher of my faith. Every day, we are faced with decisions. What will you give your time and energy to? Will it be to sports, gaining wealth, or work? None of these things bring lasting satisfaction. I know everybody know I'm an advocate. I'm a baseball fanatic. I love baseball. I love the Cardinals. Win or lose, I don't care. I love them. But that's not going to give me lasting satisfaction. God's purpose for you is to make your life count. Not just for this brief life on earth, but for the eternity. A good life purpose would be to know God and make him known. Jesus gave the great commandment. Love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than this. Love God, make him known by serving others. Service is the pathway to joy and fulfillment. If you are involved in something greater than yourself, you are just putting in time, because life is meant for ministry to others. God wants you to make a difference in this world. God wants to work through you to reach others. Amen.